The first one in this series, was about reaching out to people. The second one in the series this morning was about finances, money. And I suggest you get the CD. It was my first sermon on money. Yeah. For those specific reasons and the sensitivity out there. You know, pastors always seeming to fight about finances, but we don't fight about finances here. We know it's between you and God, and what God has entrusted unto us and unto you, it's His. And so this morning I talked about that. And this evening, maybe I will conclude the series. I don't know. I'll see what God says. But this evening I want to talk about beyond our comfort zones in connection to church and vision. Because this is really important. Now, when we talk about vision, and we read in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, in the English Standard Version, it says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. And in the New American Standard Bible says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Now, it's interesting when you read that. It's something that you notice. How does vision connect with your comfort zone? A godly vision will always, 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 always push you beyond your comfort zone. If you follow a godly vision, you will never be comfortable. You can never become comfortable. Comfortable people are unrestrained. They do what they want to do. They do as they wish. But not if it's a godly vision, because then you have to do what God says. And vision is something really important in God's eyes, because vision, in simple terms, you see the world as it is now. And then God will show you how He sees the world. And then it's our responsibility to get the world from how it looks now to how God wants it to be. That's vision. Now, that's never comfortable. You know when God starts talking to you and He looks into your heart, and then you see all those rotten stuff in your heart because of God's goodness. And then you think, God, how am I going to fix this? And then God says, you can't fix it. I'll fix it for you. And then you want to know, God, how must I do it? And God says, there's nothing that you can do. God, can I go to the gym to fix it? No, the gym won't work. God, should I go for counseling? Yes, you can go for counseling. But you know what? In counseling, you're going to get real practical ideas, but you know what? I want to fix this for you in your heart. And then you work according to that vision. And so it's important to understand that vision, from God's perspective, always pushes us beyond our comfort zones. The vision of Jesus, we have to look at this when it comes to the church. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. There we are. That was part of Jesus' vision for the church. You know, when Jesus was walking with His disciples, He saw us sitting here tonight. Did you know that? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, He saw His church. You know, when God spoke to Abraham about blessing him and the seeds of this earth, Abraham saw the church. They didn't have the perfect vision, but Jesus had the perfect vision of this church. And Jesus says, this is part of my vision. I will build my church. Jesus is the master builder. And Jesus saw the body of Christ, die liggaam van Christus. Jesus saw us as part of His vision. And how did Jesus build this vision? Jesus, as the master builder, started with 12 people, His disciples. You can read about that in Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 16. Then Jesus appointed 70, and then Jesus sent them out. And then Jesus also had the 120. Can you see how He's building His church? And they waited in the upper room. And then Jesus also, after his death and resurrection, he appeared to 500. The Apostle Paul writes, I don't know why the 500 was not in the upper room, but it was still Jesus building his church. In Acts chapter 2 verse 41, after Peter's first sermon, 3,000 souls was added to the church. If we read in Acts chapter 4 verse 4, another 5,000 people was added to the church. Now by this time, Jesus was not on earth anymore. He was at the right hand side of the Father praying. And then Jesus said, you will go to the ends of the earth. And so my question tonight is, how could the church of Jesus Christ grow so fast without friendships being lost? This was a heated debate in our small group the other day. No, we must first become real close friends and we must trust each other before we can build the kingdom. And so I asked the guys in the small group, now how could the church grow to 8,000 so quickly? They had to have a lot of braais, huh? But there wasn't time for a lot of braais, brothers and sisters. There wasn't a lot of time with that. So how did they do it? You know, we can't manipulate church growth. We can't manipulate it. We can't manipulate people into the kingdom. You know why? Because we cannot save people. But we can be faithful in preaching the gospel. We preach the gospel to each and every creature. Every one of us. Every one of us. When you come to this church, we believe in Jesus' vision in preaching the gospel. You know what Paul says? I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So, we must not be passive in preaching the gospel. We cannot be passive. We must preach the gospel every day because we're Christians. In other words, my wife. If you have to talk to her now. Now, Almri, what do you do? I hear that you're a pastor's wife. What do you do? Then she would answer, I do everything that God tells me to do. I have a function in the church. And my first function is I'm my husband's PA. And then I also organize things from the office side. I also do the finances of the church. Just the petty cash during the week. She has a job description. And I'm also a mother. But then somebody says, now, don't you do a ministry? No, I don't do a ministry. As you think I'm doing ministry. Now, what do you do, Almri? Aren't you part of the women's tea liberation or the cup of teas for ladies? The blessing of the shoes? What's your ministry's name? Then Almri would say, no, I do nothing of that. Then what do you do, Almri? Do you pray for people? Yes. Do you counsel people? Yes. Do you organize events? Yes. Do you love people, Almri? Yes. Do you teach people? Yes, I teach. Now, Almri, now, when do you do it? I do it when the Holy Spirit tells me when to do it. Because I'm a Christian first. Let's take Leomia. Ach, Laurentia. God bless Leomia's soul. But Laurentia, she's a journalist. But before she's a journalist, she's a Christian. A Christian that prays at work. That counsels at work. That teaches at work. She must do all that as the Holy Spirit says. You understand what I'm trying to say here? If the Holy Spirit tells her, this morning you must teach somebody about money, you have 3 minutes, then she must teach that person. She's a Christian that is qualified as a journalist. Are you with me? Because we put our Christian thinking into boxes. No, now I'm a journalist, and Sunday I'm a Christian. Wednesday I'm a small group leader. Thursday I'm an intercessor. And when I sing on the stage, then I'm a... No, that's wrong. Jesus never put his vision into compartments. You're first a Christian that does everything that the Holy Spirit tells you. So, Yalmari or Laurentia, when you work, do you only pray? No, I don't only pray, because that's not Christ-likeness. I must also work. Do you arrive late at work, Laurentia? No, that's also unChrist-like. That's not of the Lord. Now, when you have to pray for somebody and you're late for a meeting, no, I'm never late for a meeting. I only pray 15 seconds because the Holy Spirit allowed me to pray for that person 15 seconds so that I can be in time for the meeting. The Holy Spirit won't make you late, my mate. You know, that's not the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit's job is in guiding you in understanding Jesus' vision in building his church and making disciples. So, as a church, can we have that, those numbers there, those biblical numbers? At this moment, we are at 120, this church. That is where we are. So, numerical blessing, I'm going to talk about this. Numerical blessing is a covenant blessing from God. When God blesses in numbers, it's about covenant. We'll have to teach about this. And we are witnesses. When we witness to people, numbers come. It's as simple as that. We're faithful to the Great Commission. We witness to people. We teach, we preach, we pray, we counsel, we sing. We give words of wisdom, we give words of knowledge. We stop the meeting when God says stop this meeting and just give this word of knowledge. Then you stop the meeting and you give the word of knowledge because you're Christian. Now, when that happens in here, life will change radically. I promise you. I promise you things will start changing because that is really important. So, how did this church grow so fast? How did this body grow so fast? First of all, everybody understood the vision and they were obedient to the vision. Let me just say this. When we pursue vision together, we're not necessarily friends. Laurentia, are you friends with all the people at your work? No. But do you pursue vision together? What is the vision? To get the standard out there on a Thursday. That's the vision. Not all of them are their friends. Her friends, sorry. But they work together. And they're obedient to the vision. So when we build God's kingdom, not all of us are going to be friends. We're family, but we're not friends. So now some people are confused. How does this work? How can we be family but not friends? And how can we be friends and not family? We'll get to that later. Yeah, I love this. The universal church. Jesus said to his church, now listen to this. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 29, after his resurrection, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So, everybody in Acts understood that they had to be witnesses, even though they were not friends. To what were they supposed to be witnesses? They were witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. They told everybody about Jesus that resurrected and that he was the Christ. And so the 3,000 told everybody that Jesus has resurrected and he is the Christ. And then the 8,000 told everybody, but the 8,000, all of them were friends. They got together day by day from house to house. From Monday to Sunday, they were just too much. So they had small group every day of the week. And then Sundays they went to church the first day. But not all of them were friends. And they could say, like the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 26, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Are you obedient to the heavenly vision that God has given you? Obedient to the vision and preaching the gospel as a Christian first and making disciples? The vision was a lifestyle. As Christians, we're not living that lifestyle. We live in compartments, and I'm trusting God that we will just move the compartments within our heads. We just move it, remove it. It doesn't belong there. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They had a lifestyle of witnessing daily, and God added to the church daily. My word, when are we going to get there? We are going to get there as soon as all of us realize that I don't just preach the gospel on Sunday or Wednesday. I preach the gospel from Monday to Sunday as the Holy Spirit leads me. I don't go to people when they're talking, then just start talking about Jesus. Are you saved? You're going to go to hell, and you're going to perish with your money. Accursed are you. We don't do that. We don't chase people away from us. We preach the gospel as Christians, as God leads us. We witness this every day. God says, now pray for that one. Then you say, look here, God, I'm just sensing I must pray for you. Can I pray for you for this? This you can. Then you pray. And that's that. But we don't do it. We want to wait until Wednesday. And then our small group, we must be friends. You know, we must be ebony and ivory. Together in perfect harmony. You know, no, it doesn't work like that. They were one in the apostles' doctrine. What was the apostles' doctrine? It was everything that Jesus taught them, the apostles taught the people. So what they basically did was read Bible, and they had Bible school. They had Bible school. Fellowship. Now so many people think fellowship, When I say fellowship, a lot of people in church think braai. And like a kayering. Here my China's. We throw up our choppies over, you know, if you speak like an Afrikaner now, we throw up our choppies over the cooler, you know, so that the government can see we part of the government, you know. Yeah, that's Afrikaners, and I don't know why the other, the coloreds. Name bro, we throw choppies over the cooler. That's also not cool. And then as Bopla would say, we braai properly. The meat properly, you know. So it's no use in laughing. We're beautiful people put together by God. So just when you think, ooh, they talk funny, just wait. Wait. Just wait and hear yourself, you know. Just wait and hear yourself. But so a lot of people, they think when we talk, when we say fellowship, they think it's a braai, we have to be friends. Fellowship is something that is birthed by the Holy Spirit. Do you know when we have fellowship? When everybody in the small group hears the same thing from the Holy Spirit. That is fellowship. Fellowship is not we making a fire and we all Stormers fans. Now we have fellowship. Now what about the blue bull or poor Sarah who's a shark? She's not part of the fellowship now. Or Eugene, he's also a shark. Poor people. I have pity on you, really. But you know, that's not fellowship, ladies and gentlemen. Fellowship is when we are connected by the Holy Spirit. Then the breaking of bread. Do you know how important it is to understand what the breaking of bread means? And the breaking of bread is not only for people, you know, who may do it. The breaking of bread is there for everybody. Not the pastor, not the priest. You can break bread at your home. You can break bread at your home. I'm not going to preach on that. And pray. A praying church is a witnessing church. A church that does not pray cannot witness. A church that does not pray cannot go to the uttermost ends of the earth. And so, we need to be at intercession when we pray for the town so that we can understand and have a heart for God how He feels about this town. It's a really important thing. Then there were people added to the church daily. So everybody understood the vision. The vision was a day-to-day lifestyle. Thirdly, there was oneness. Just read these scriptures. Acts chapter 1 verse 4. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. In other words, it's so beautiful when people pray in one accord. Praying in one accord. Not I pray about my dog and then somebody else pray about an aunt and then I pray about my drum set. That's not praying one accord. That's your own prayers. You see, if there's no fellowship, then there can't be one accord. You with me? Acts chapter 2 verse 1 and 46. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. In one place they were in one accord. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, they were with one accord here. In other words, when we worship, we sing to the King of Kings, everybody. We understand what we're singing. We're worshiping together. It's not a band thing. It's an us thing when it comes to worship. Acts chapter 4 verse 24 and verse 32. So when they heard that, they raised their voices with one accord and said, "Ah, raising our voices with one accord." Now that would be beautiful. This was the time when Peter was in jail. "You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea." Just to give you background, just before this, James was beheaded. Sy kop was afgekap. And so Peter was in jail. And if there's one thing that a crisis does, a crisis allows us to pray with one accord. Because if we don't pray now, we're all going to die. And Peter's going to die. And then they pray with one accord. "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." So, people, church is not about organizational unity. A business has organizational unity. We organize and we have a unity. The church is an organism. It's alive. An organism that is organized. And do you know why the church is a live organism? Because the Holy Spirit brings the life. So you can't build church without the Holy Spirit, which brings the fellowship. The organism should be organized, otherwise it dies. Now, if the Holy Spirit is here, then we must have organization. If we are not organized, we're going to die. If there's not a sound team that will set up, there will be no sound. If there's not a roster for the band, there will be no worship. If we are not prepared and organized in this organism will die. Because so many people say, "No, we need not to be organized. The Holy Spirit will organize everything." I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit will organize nothing. I was talking to the the sound team right after the morning service, and I told them, look, you guys, if anything breaks, I want to hear about it Monday, immediately. Because so many stuff break here. You know the wear and tear, I understand that. You have to pack up and take it in, especially wires. It's really sensitive, and speakers. So some of the stuff break, and I have an understanding for that. But now when something breaks, I want to hear it immediately. Why? The Holy Spirit, listen very carefully to what I'm going to teach now. The Holy Spirit will work through this mic. And so I need to be prepared so that this mic can work. We need to be organized. Because if the Holy Spirit wants to minister, but we are not prepared, it needs, otherwise, if I look like you understand? Now that quenches the Holy Spirit. Dit jaag die Heilige Gees uit, want ons is nie voorbereid en reg vir wat die Here wil doen nie. We're not prepared in what God wants to do, so that is why we look like palookas. You understand what I'm trying to say? So I told them, you are doing a great job, but guys, when something breaks, I need to hear it immediately. We look like fools. And the Holy Spirit is quenched. Because the Holy Spirit will use technology. Technology. The Holy Spirit will use technology to bring the gospel to the uttermost ends of the earth. So, if we look for a reason for emptiness in our own experience, let's look first to our own hesitancy to share ourselves with our brothers and sisters. If there's emptiness in your life, don't blame other people. Look to your heart. Why are you not sharing yourself with other people? I share myself very easily with people. And if they drop me, then they drop me. If they walk out on my relationship, it's fine. I don't share everything with everybody, but I open myself up to everybody. You know why? When I look at people, I see Christ. I want to see Christ. So if there's Jesus in you, I'll talk to you. If you drop me, if you stab me in my back, it's fine. It's between you and the Lord. My heart's clear before God. I shared myself with you. I don't need to be your friend to share with you. Are you with me? When I want to share really deep, private stuff, then we can talk about friendship. But when it comes to things pertaining to the gospel, we can pursue the gospel. You see, so many people, they don't want to multiply. They don't want to change. You know why? It's just too challenging for them. Because they have to get out of their comfort zones. So they will have lots of reasons or why they shouldn't multiply and we can't multiply. Oh, we're not a tight unit yet. It's not about being tight in friendship. It's about being tight in pursuing the vision, preaching the gospel. That is where tightness comes. Everybody understands in the small group, we have to preach the gospel. We don't come to small group to complain. We don't come to small group, you know, because we want to braai. We understand we have a common vision that Jesus has given us, and that is to go to be a witness. After that, we can become friends. And you know what? You're part of the family, but let's go on. Practical. Know and understand the vision of the local body. Our vision is to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. It's as easy as that. When you come to small group, when you come to this church, this is why we exist. As a church, as Shofar. I'm proud of it. And everybody that's part of this vision must be proud of that. It's as simple as that. So everybody that comes to small group must understand this. Your vision can never be bigger than the vision of the house. Your vision must complement the vision of the church. And the vision of the church can never be bigger than Jesus' vision. So the vision of the church must complement Jesus' vision. Are you with me? So if I want to start a ministry, my ministry must serve this vision. I've talked with so many people. Then they're offended and angry, and then they tell me, I'm never going to go back to church. You know why? Because I won't allow people to stop me because my vision is bigger than the church's vision. Then I think, oh, how foolish when we think we can become bigger than the local church. How foolish if we think that we can become bigger than God's eternal church. How foolish. You know, vision. So, first of all, we must have a biblical understanding, secondly, of church membership. And so for this, we're going to look at our natural bodies. The Apostle Paul says we are the body. Oh, Nina, you're going to love this. We're going to talk about the body. She's studying nursing, you know. So, she has a passion for the body. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15, 16. Christ is the head of the body. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head. Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth. Listen there, growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. People, our minds must change. The church belongs to Jesus. And so time after time, I have to talk to people and then I have to ask them, what did Jesus tell you about this church? Then they can't tell me. Did Jesus tell you you must come to this church? If Jesus is the head and He told you so, then do what Jesus expects from you according to the vision. Don't complain. Don't be offended. Don't be angry. Please. Jesus is the head of this church. It's His church. It's not my church. I'm only, you know, a lead elder. He appointed me as a set man because God works like that. Moses, the set man. Joshua, the set man. Noah, the set man. Peter, the set man. Paul is a set man to the Gentiles. David, this, God works like that. But that doesn't mean that you belong to me. You belong to Jesus. You with me? Have an understanding that Christ is the head of the body. And please, people, it's Christ's body. This is Jesus' lichaam. Secondly, look what Paul says about the body. Beautiful. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Can we read that again? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Again, our minds need to change. You never chose so far. God has set you in this body. So many people think, I chose this church, so when I'm fed up of them, I'll choose another church. God adds to the church. Can we go to the next scripture, please? Praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church. Who added to the church? The Lord. When you know you need to belong here, then you do as the house says. Because God added you to this church. If God adds you to another part of the body, you do there as God expects of you. But when you're here, it's not you, you don't choose a church. God adds you. It's a mind shift, huh? We think we choose our churches. Ekkieskerk. Doesn't work. Look what Jesus says. The following scripture, please. No, go back. I don't have it on there. But that is why Jesus, I will build my church. So, you're a living stone. You've been placed into this church by Jesus. He's the builder. Are you with me? And so, I'm not talking to the visitors this evening. I'm talking to the members of this church. Our minds must change how we think about church. It doesn't belong to me. It's Christ's church and He has placed you in this body. And so
You just don't walk out. You need to say that. And when you want to leave, you do it properly. You come and talk to us and say, look, I don't feel that I must be part of this vision. Then we will bless you and tell you, enjoy your life where you need to fit in. That's all. We're not going to fight about it. And even, I have to say this also, even when you lie and you tell me, God told me, you see, but this is important. Most people leave church because they offended, because the worship's too long, because the songs are too English. Now the songs are too Afrikaans. I'm going to leave. That's wrong reasons to leave a church. I've never heard in my experience the right reasons for leaving church. No. I have heard, but it's very little. You know what the right reasons for leaving a church would be? The Holy Spirit's not there anymore. They're not teaching the word. They're teaching something other than the word there. Now that's a right reason to leave. Or when a man is being, you know, worshipped. They worship a man there. They don't worship a God there. They worship that man. They make too much of the man and too little of God. That's right reasons to leave a church. But you know why people leave church? No, we talked about something and so I wanted to leave. I don't feel so good about it. Now that's wrong. Because God added you to that part of the body. And you better walk out of that part of the body with a right attitude. Are you with me? Because Jesus added, it's a mind change. It's so liberating to know that Jesus added me to this part of the body. I feel so at home here because I was added by God. I never chose this church. Then, see, every member of the body is active, operative, contributes to the welfare of the body, functions to carry out and to live out the vision. There's no inactive members in the body. Look what the Apostle Paul says again about the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? The Apostle Paul, you're a brilliant man. You know, my heart can't tell my lungs, I'm not part of you. My lungs can't tell my heart, I'm not part of you. If my lungs decide to stop working, there will not be enough oxygen to keep my heart pumping. And if my heart stops pumping, there will not be enough blood pumped to the organs for necessary life. So there cannot be an inactive part of the body. If any part of the body is inactive, it dies. So to all those people in small group that's inactive, get active, please. Or leave and go to a place where you can be active. I want this tape, everybody, all the small group must listen to this. We're talking about active and inactive membership. There's no inactive members in a body. As my footy may will work in the blood fluid, I've frotted it. Then they call it in English gangrene, then they have to cut it off. It has no use. Are you with me? I'm not arguing. It's just something that God has been placing in my heart where I just want to tell people, listen here, what are you here to do? Are you here to complain? Are you here to complain? Because you're inactive. Get your act together and be an active part of this body. See the vision, follow the vision, and move with it. Are you with me? Can I get an amen, please? Amen. Active parts of the body. I love this. I love the Apostle Paul. That is why so many people have a problem with the Apostle Paul. They don't like the Apostle Paul. Do you know? We are interdependent. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. If my eye says, I don't want to be part of you anymore, then I'll go blind. We are not independent, we are interdependent of each other. In other words, if one of us is not there and we depend on you and not there, then we're going to struggle. And so I want to tell all the small group leaders and everybody here, when somebody's not there, when he's supposed to be there, pull him aside and tell him, you've dropped us. You never told us where you were. you didn't send an SMS. It's unfair to the rest of us. We don't like it. You're part of the body. You are our eyes. We had no eyes. Was moes heeltyd in die donker tas. Are you with me? That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. We don't understand this. But when it comes to our jobs, we're never late. You know why? Because my pay. I won't stay away from my job, but I'll drop the church. I'm willing to tell that to people. I've been telling that to people, and they don't like what I'm saying, but I'm not angry with them. I just want them to look them in the eye and tell me, why are you dropping me? My heart's for you. It's always been for you. I'm always there for you. Why are you not there for me? Please, can we have this conversation like grown-ups? Sit down. I want to hear. You want to talk to me about commitment? I'll talk about commitment. I'll talk about the way I roll around at night in bed for you when I pray for you, and I'm serious. I'm not saying this to sound super spiritual, but this is how serious it is for me. How serious is this commitment for you? Because you're part of the body. You want to leave and get up and leave when you want to leave. I can't get up and leave and just drop people. I have to stand and stay here. It's part of my calling. It's part of what I understand. Jesus put me as a living stone here. And so people don't understand that. And we must talk with them about it. Please don't keep your mouth shut. Talk to people about it. Ask them, now how does this work? I don't understand. Are you with me? We are interdependent. We depend on one another. Then we recognize each other. And if one member suffers, all of the members suffer. You know, if you wake up in the evening and you want to go to the toilet and you bump your pinky toe against the bed, you kap hy klein twinkie, your whole body knows about it. You know, and you want to say a few choice Afrikaans words that I can't utter you now, but you want to say a few words, you know. Now you are the body and members individually. You're individual members, but you're part of one another. So we recognize each other. And it's one of those covenant conversations that I've been having with people regularly. If I'm interdependent and I recognize you, then you must recognize me. And all the small group leaders again and all the small group people, if somebody comes to you and talks to you about another member of this body, and he has a problem with another member of this body, then this is what I want you to do. You tell him, okay, I hear what you're saying, so when are you going to talk to that member? If that person says, I'm not going to talk to that member, then you tell that person, then I'm going to tell that person what you told me. Because you're not recognizing that member. So you go and sort it out. But if you only tell me and you don't want to go there, then I'll tell that person. I'm giving you a week. A week, you make the appointment and you talk the thing through. In that week, I'm going to ask that person, was so and so by you? No. Then I'm going to tell that person, are you with me? Look me in the eye and say that you're going to recognize that person. Yes. Then I want a yes. And you know what I've learned about obedience? Do you know what I've learned about obedience through my children and through how God wants obedience from us? You know how obedience works? When somebody talks to you about obedience and you need to, then what must your children say? All the parents, when you talk to them, what do you want to hear? You want them to look you in the eye and you want them to say, yes, I understand. And you wait till that person say, yes, I understand. If they don't say yes, then understand, then they're not understanding, then we talk about it some more. Because we fight for the relationship. That is what I want us to do. You know what? So much is going to change because we understand we're following the same vision, we're going the same way. It's not about being friendship. It's not about being in a friendship, you know. It's about pursuing vision together. Friendship can come much later. We are family. We do accommodate. We do welcome. We can't accommodate everything, but we welcome.
And we look at the individual, we talk about this because the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom in how we need to treat stuff. But that nonsense, it stops here. You know why it stops? You can't talk about somebody and you're not willing to talk to that person. That's quenching the Holy Spirit, because how's ministry going to take place? Can somebody please tell me? And you know what I'm saying now? I'm not saying that we should argue. I'm just saying this is something that the early church did. Do you know, 11 of the apostles, they ran away from Jesus. Only the woman and John was there with him. What do you think did they talk about in the upper room? They talked about, look here, Peter, where were you? Where were you when Jesus died? You know, there was so much to sort out. You know, and we allow the devil to play with our heads and telling us we must first connect, and then we must, after we've connected, we must love each other, and then after we've loved each other, then we can do. I don't have a problem with any of that, but that's got nothing to do with pursuing the vision and understanding why are you part of this body. Now that's a mind shift that the church needs to make. I can't be friends with anybody here, everybody here. I can't drink tea and coffee with everybody here. But when the Holy Spirit tells me that I must drink a cup of tea with Libby, then I will. You know, when you have spiritual unity, now listen very carefully to this. When you have that spiritual unity and that spiritual fellowship, you can make important decisions under a tree. Really? Just on the fly of the day. Friday, I went to go see Marshall on a really important matter. For 45 minutes, we talked about us. The really important stuff we discussed in 10 minutes, you can ask him, bless. I told him, Marshall, we want to do this. And they said this. And Marshall said, oh, yes, we'll do this. Blessings, great. Okay, bye-bye. Finished. There's a spiritual unity. For the other 45 minutes, we talked about our children. When I came home and I told my wife, we talked about our children. She said, you always talk about your children. Yeah, we love talking about our children and you, but we won't tell you. Where? Do you know? You know, but we can make important decisions just on the fly of the day. We don't need 45-minute, 1-hour long meetings. You know, when we talk, I talk with Oppie or somebody said, look, this is the decisions. This is what we need to do. Then Oppie said, yes, the Lord says so. And I say, yes, I also feel the Lord says so. Okay, then we'll do it. So, yes, we'll be praying for it. So when last were you at the sea? No, we're going to go to the sea this weekend. You know, you understand what I'm saying? But it's not a lang gekeier to get a decision. You understand it? I'm not talking about counseling. I'm not talking about friendship. I'm talking about pursuing vision together. Please get counseling and friendship and braying and caring. Get that on the left-hand side. And just, you know, understand that that's all part of everything. It's not in a compartment. You understand what I'm trying to say? When you talk with somebody, you look them in the eye and you just know that they're part of this body and I recognize them in this body. We interdependent. I need them. They need me. We're going to do this thing. They know that Christ is the head of the church. And when they suffer with me. Are you with me? Does it make sense? We need that shift in the body of Christ. Because then we will operate like in the book of Acts. Fellowship is there because of the Holy Spirit. There's a oneness, a one accord. And guys, you can't create unity. Did you know that? You can't. I must also come back and teach on this. Read Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 1 to verse 16. Gaan lees Ephesians hoofstuk 4 vanaf vers 1 tot 16. Tinus, don't you want to go to, in that program, you can go to the Bible there. Marnie, ek het mos vir jou gewys nou die dag, nee, waar die Bybel is. Then you just type in there Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 to 6. I just quickly want to show 6 to 16. You can read that 6 to 16, but I just want to show you guys something. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 to 6. And then you just write that. Concerning unity. You can't create unity. So we try to create unity by having a lot of kayerkies. You can't create unity that way. You build friendships and family friendships and long-lasting relationships that you, but you can't create. Are we there yet? Just 1 to 6 for now. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you. Jalla slim kinders, wa. I gaan vir julle mamas sê, vir julle almal se mamas daar. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, which beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing, endeavoring to what? To keep the unity of the Spirit. You can't create unity, you just keep the unity. Now, people that complain, people that don't recognize each other, people that does not know if they're part of the body, they disrupt the unity. Negative people, and I'm just sensing in my spirit, there's a person here, you have a critical spirit. You're always criticizing. That quenches the Holy Spirit. If that's you, I want you to repent this evening before the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to come here, but if God says you must come talk to me, then come talk to me. But there's somebody here with a critical spirit. We must get the critical spirit out of the church. You think you're Barry Ronger. Do you know who Barry Ronger is? That guy that always critiques the movies. Wat sy van Nierop manieke? Leon van Nierop. Ooh, hierdie fliek is net goed vir pap en vleis. Moet dit nie gaan kyk, you know. But there's always people like that with a critical spirit. They always write reviews about how church was. Oh, this was bad. Oh, he sang like this. Oh, she was this. Oh, the small group is this. Oh, the people, there's always this bad review. And then you give the church a 1 out of 10. I give Christ's body always 10 out of 10. Always. You know why? Because in my heart I said, God, I'll give the people that you've added to this church, not me. It's not the foundations, the people that you've added to this church, God, I always give them the benefit of the doubt because you've placed them here. God, I'll stick with them, and God, Here ons gaan praat oor die sake. Hulle sal geïrriteerd met my raak, maar ek sal vir hulle sit maak en sê, nee, don't get angry, talk with me. Why are you so agitated? Talk with me. Why do you always say this about other people? Talk with me. What is it? I'll talk to people. So, we must keep the unity of the Spirit. We can't create the unity. Now please, don't stop brying. Keep on brying. And please invite me. Because I want to be there. There's nothing as like as brying. But I can tell you now, brying is not going to build the church. If everybody in small group understands those 5 things, Jesus placed me here, I'm interdependent, I'm part of this thing, I have a function to fulfill, and we need to pursue this, I'll tell you that small group will multiply. Just like that. Now, Paul gave the answer in small group. He said, I think we must just preach Christ. And I said, God, thank you. You know. And I have a suspicion everybody else also understands it. It's, you know what, it's just really difficult in times like this, emotionally. You know, if and this is something we measure our spirituality on emotional experiences when we connect with one another emotionally. So if we have a bad emotional experience, we can't pursue destiny together. A bad emotional experience, you can talk about it. You sit and you talk about it. When you do this, you make me feel like this. When I do this, I make you feel like this. Oh yes, you talk about it. But with that, you pursue vision. Are you with me? You can talk about it, but you can still pursue vision. Do you think it was easy to work with the Apostle Paul?
Do you think it was easy to work with Peter? Impetuous Peter. Daai man het nie geweet wanneer om sy mond te hou nie. Ooh, hy het geblaker, you know. Scripture says when that little girl confronted Peter, he cursed. Hy het gevloek. Gaan lees die skrif in Markus. Hy het gevloek. That's what scripture says. But you know what? They worked through the issues because they understood why they were there and where they were going. And so please, if people, if they do not know, have a talk with them. Where are you going? I was talking with Ridwan the other day. And I told him, Ridwan, if you're in the mall or if you are in town and you tell me I must come and fetch you or get you or meet you, what must you do? And so Ridwan said, I must tell you where I am. I said, yes. Now, for so many people, we must first ask them, where are you now? And then they must tell us, I'm right here. And then we must meet them. Then we must talk to them. And then we must tell them, look here, we're going that way, huh? With this type of talk, you're going that way. And it has a negative impact on so many people. And when you talk about new believers, people just giving their lives to the Lord, they don't have baggage. You know, they come into church, they want to do the thing, you know. Where can I be? You know, what must I do? And then you get, you know, I call it the duckout. That brandie maklikie. Hy maak net rook in jou. You can't get them on fire. Then I think, my word, you know, Laurentia came here in this year, in the worship team, small group lead, you know, small group intern, part of the vision. She's in, she's connecting. But now you talk with people that's been with the Lord for 10 years, 7 years, then you have to talk with them. Now what does it know fear? Must we talk about this again? You know, we're laughing, but it's quenching the Holy Spirit. And what comes out of those people's mouths, the other thing that you can go read is also in Ephesians about lying and conceit and grumbling. Moanere, moaning, it quenches the Holy Spirit. Try to have a small group and there's always somebody moaning. You can't have a small group. It's impossible. You know, it's like somebody waking up in the morning and say, what are we going to eat this morning? What are we going to eat this morning? No, I don't want to have oats. I want to have wheat beaks. I don't want to have oats. It's a nagging thing and it just irritates you. I know. I know this. And unfortunately, if you're in a marriage like that, I'll pray for you. You know, Tani Frida, the drip in the duck or the drip in the crown, plick, plick. The Holy Spirit can't work in a marriage like that because it's just the moaning and the complaining and it drives you nuts. Talk to me, talk to me. And, you know, I get irritated. You know, because I like to talk about vision and where we're going. And it's so difficult to talk to people, you know. People, I'm not saying that you must push all your emotions aside. But don't make emotional decisions and think and say, because of my emotional experience, church cannot work. You know how many people that say, because I've never experienced a miracle, there cannot be miracles, and they're wrong. They make choices according to their emotional experiences. That is wrong. Or people that say, you shouldn't be baptized. Jy moet nie gedoop word nie. Because I haven't experienced life, but they haven't done it. And then you talk to people that have baptized them and you ask them, how did your life change? And then they tell you, my life changed. Now, how do you get the two together? We can't pursue kingdom on an emotional level. Yes, we pursue kingdom as the Spirit brings unity and then our emotions are impacted by the Spirit. That makes sense. But we cannot start from our emotions and then we want to influence the Spirit with our emotions. That's of the flesh. That is of the flesh. So people, I'm trusting God for this mind shift. Everybody that comes into church must know where they belong, what they need to do. And so what I am going to do, I'm going to get practical and I'm going to start teaching. How do you teach people and show them or create space for them so that they can find out where they need to belong. Because that is a problem in the body. We're not addressing that issue.
So I'm busy working on that, on how do you get people in and just allowing them, you know, just to get around to see who they are and what they are. And I also want to say this. I'm talking now this evening. I'm not preaching. If I've made a wrong assumption about you, about your gifts, please come and tell me. Carlos, you always say that I'm an evangelist, but I'm not. I'm actually pastoral. And I'd say, okay, I'm wrong. Sorry. Hey, man, we need you. If I've made a wrong spiritual assumption about you, come and tell me. You know, Carlos, you know, me and my wife had this talk, you know. She told me, look, I don't like this. This is actually who I am. And I said, okay. And you know what the scary thing is? People always want to do. They always want to do to feel worthy. Don't do to feel worthy, just be. Do you think my wife wakes up every morning, then she tells Carla and Eva, I'm your mother, I'm your mother, I'm your mother, I'm your mother. 10:15, I'm your mother, I'm your mother. 11:30, I'm your mother. No, she's their mother. She just acts like a mother. You with me? You just know when you need to do something, you just do it. Just be. Are you with me? Are you with me in what I'm trying to explain to you? So many people want to do to feel worthy. Just be and be worthy. And so we're going to trust God for everybody just to be. Not to complain and to moan. Just to be. Just be who God called you to be. And if it's difficult for you to understand who you are, then come and talk with us. There's some brilliant tests that we can do. We can lay hands on you. We will watch you. We will see where you fit in, and we will tell you, oh, that's the place. That's the place. And you will enjoy yourself. And all the complaining will leave. All the negativity, you know. Just that focus. Are you with me? I want to pray for you now.